A recent survey released by Tencent's financial management arm looks at people's budget on the Chinese New Year holiday spending. The survey suggests that feeling compelled to spend a fortune during the Spring Festival is a massive financial burden that people are wearing on their shoulders. So let's talk about the so-called burden. Why does it exist?
Very interesting. I think a lot of people probably don't realize that it is a burden. And most of the times when we talk about the Spring Festival, our eyes are on the tens of millions of people who travel home to be with the family. And they do this willingly. So a lot of people don't realize that maybe this can be a burden. I remember when I was a kid, I certainly enjoyed spending the Spring Festival because I got red envelopes. I get new clothes, that kind of thing. I get to play firecrackers, that's that sort of thing. So to little kids, we didn't realize that. But I specifically remember once I heard my mom, who was doing the dishes after entertaining some guests. She said, I'm so tired. I mean, Spring Festival it's just a very tiresome location. I mean, instead of the Spring Festival, I might think this is just a chores festival. That's what she said. So, so the burden can be something for older people who are responsible for arranging all the fancy things that we get to experience. And also, the financial burden can be a major thing as well. More than 37% of respondents expected their expense for Spring Festival will exceed 10,000 yuan, and that's about $1,490. And more than 41% of survey participants said their expenses for the festival exceeded their monthly income after tax, and also about 2% there said the expenses exceeded 6 months of their income after tax, and nearly 10% said they had to borrow money to cover festival expenses. Funny thing, earlier today, I came out to work a little late, so I called a cab, and I had a discussion with the driver who sort of recalled about 30 years ago, once he had to borrow 500 yuan just so they had money to spend for the Spring Festival to get all the gifts, all the new clothes, and everything they needed. And so, yeah, so a lot of people who grew up in my generation or even younger, they probably don't realize that maybe there's a price to pay for enjoying the festive mood.
That's actually a lot of money when you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
So a lot of people, okay, 37% say they're spending more than 10 grand. Mm-hmm. On what? Nila, when you look at these numbers, do you think they're reasonable? What are people spending on?
I don't know, because if it's not even Spring Festival. For me, so Christmas is my Spring Festival. Mm-hmm. And I just, I was looking back, and this time around, I spent over 30,000. And honestly, I don't know on what. But I do think we tend to overspend during this particular holiday season because it's that time of the year when everybody feels very generous. You want to buy gifts and you're excited to see family and friends and people you haven't seen before for a long time. So you want to spread some holiday cheer. And during that, when you're thinking like that, you just keep on spending. And in most cases, it's not even, we don't even spend money on tangible things. It's more about giving other people experiences. For example, you'd be like, oh, let's go out. I'll treat you for dinner today because I'm going to spend it. Just order whatever you want. and we don't really, keep in mind that we are overspending it. We're just stuck up in that particular moment because we want to please other people. We want to show that we are sharing with them the holiday spirit.
Well, that means somebody is not spending on budget. So you're not budgeting on, okay, what's the maximum amount I'm going to spend, or with this one occasion, and considering the Spring Festival holiday actually runs for a whole week, 7 days. So there's also travel expenses, and apparently gift money is composed of the bigger part of this whole spending spree. Where does the gift money go?
Well, I've given gift money to people. I think in the past few years, this year I haven't done it yet. In the past few years, I usually give something to my grandparents. I mean, that's on both sides, my mom's parents and my dad's parents. And then I'll give my own parents, each of them a red packet. And then after I graduated from school and then started working and make a little income, you feel like you are responsible for entertaining the kids in the family as well. So there were a few years when I have started work, yet some of my cousins, they haven't. They were still in school, and I felt obligated to make them happy by giving them red envelopes. And then there are, although it's rare, I mean, there are people who decide to have their wedding during the 7-day holiday, and once you get invited to one of those occasions, I mean, you're guaranteed to spend some kind of money to show that you are still a friend.
But the thing about holding a wedding during Spring Festival,
it's very rare, but
yeah,
some people do it.
Because most people want to spend the time with their family, so you're not necessarily traveling to another city just mm-hmm. to be at someone's wedding when you're supposed to have the family reunion. And when we talk about this gift money thing, even for Spring Festival, do you think this is the practical side of Chinese people? It's like,
I'll
give you the money so you can do whatever with it instead of giving you a present.
This is one tradition that I really like. It's simple, it's straightforward. As long as I am the one on the receiving end, I am receiving the money. But when it comes to the other way around, it's just, you know, so annoying. But I do like the culture because at least when I give you the money, you could go and buy something that you really like. I'm personally not really a huge fan of receiving gifts from other people because I might not like it. Like, why would you assume I want this or that unless you ask me prior to that? So it's more practical if you give somebody money, then they get to get themselves something special. And they will always remember the reason why I acquired this particular item is because Heyang gave me X amount of money, gave me 50,000 RMB. So,
oh, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. I need to recalculate what I slip into the red envelope. And the Spring Festival is the time that is appropriate in Chinese culture, I suppose, to put money, cash, into the red envelope mm-hmm. and give it out. Because in some other occasions in the year, it's not really that appropriate, I suppose.
Well, it has to do with Chinese tradition. I mean, back in the past, we elderly people, especially in the family, they used to give little kids this ya shui qian, little red packets. But I don't think they used to give cash, as in paper money, I mean, banknotes. They used to give them coins made of...
when was that, Lai Ming? In the Qing Dynasty?
The Qing and even before that, because that basically was the money we used to mm-hmm. use. And because the money was issued by the emperors, it was supposed to carry, the coins were supposed to carry imperial power that was supposed to drive away evil spirits. So that was the origin of red packets. But nowadays, what we are seeing, I mean, we like to give people money instead of commodities or products, is because we are simply lazy. And also is because the economy has developed to a point where people can use the money to get basically everything. There was a time, though, when I was a kid, as a gift from my parents' workplace, they used to give out stuff in the form of like huge chunks of fish or pork. So that was what they did. But then in a modern society, we often hear companies giving out year-end bonuses in the form of cash. Obviously, cash is more flexible in fulfilling this purpose. Because Nila, you just mentioned you hate to be on the giving end of the money. But actually, if you think about it, you get off by giving them cash. Otherwise, if you really are to give, let's say, your parents what they really want, then you have to really think very hard about it.
I mean, I always view it like this. If I traveled all the way from China to go back home to see my parents, I am the gift.
Oh, okay. That's a nice way of thinking.
It's a precious one. You can't actually equate me and money, you know? You know what I mean? But I do get it that we are now living in an era where people expect you to give them gifts. And in this case, a lot of people, they do expect you to hand them, you know, a little hongbao, like some money for them to spend, or I don't know.
I think we don't just give money to random stranger that we meet in the street. We give money to the elders in the family on the assumption that, well, New Year's coming and they probably also need money to buy something they want. And giving them money is one way to show that we care about them and we want to make sure that they are not short of anything. Mm. And as for the kids, I mean, we just want to put a smile on their faces. As a kid, I used to look forward to getting red envelopes, and I only get to keep the red envelopes from my parents and my grandparents, who were very stingy. So I only get to hold on to 40 yuan every year, and that to me was a fortune.
I mean, I do have a question, though. I'm still struggling to understand, at what point do you qualify to receive a hongbao, and when do you stop? Because is there like an age limit? Do you have to give, when you give your parents a gift, do they have to give you something back in return?
That's a very good question.
Very, very good question. We tend to believe that once we become independent, once we get a job, we get paid, mm-hmm. and we get a monthly income, then you are considered an independent individual, a grown-up in the family. And then in that case, you are sort of graduated from a recipient of red envelopes to a giver of red envelopes. But now I think people are no longer that strict about traditions. I mean, obviously, my parents, who still look at me as if I'm still a little kid, they still give me red envelopes. And so there's no rule against that. I mean, exactly how old would you graduate for real from getting red envelopes?
But then you still give them a red envelope at the same time.
Well, ever since I started working and getting paid, I give them red envelopes.
So then it just cancels out. Then nobody needs to give the other one an envelope. So I give you, you give me.
Well, it's a competition about who's better off. I mean,
oh, I see.
Who's more generous.
I'm not giving you, I'm deducting whatever you're giving me from what I'm supposed to give you. I mean, it's okay, but anyway, I think it's more about the gesture.
Yeah, it's about the gesture of giving.
Yeah, and I remember it could get really complicated and kind of tricky, and also kind of like game theory, because you're really predicting what the other person's behavior is going to be and who's going to be the beneficiary out of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. As when you have a whole bunch of cousins, for example, and then, yeah, I remember my mom always had to, like, she's very particular and very cool lady, and she would prepare all these like really nice red envelopes and with special patterns on them, and this is the year, it's going to be the year of the pig, so of course, you know, new batch of pretty specially picked out red envelopes, and yes, slipping in, should it be the same amount for these cousins, or should it be a slightly different amount? And if it's a slightly different amount, you got to make sure you give it to the right person. And and then you're kind of wandering. Well, my mom's really generous. She's usually just, you know, doing the most she can. But sometimes someone could be thinking, what am I receiving? If I give less, then does it make me look bad? Or maybe, well, I do want to give less so then I can receive more. So there's a lot of mind games going on.
Yeah.
I remember in my family, my dad has, he has three brothers. So that means four sisters-in-law. I mean, my mom and her sisters-in-law, like my aunt, my aunties, there are four of them. They used to form alliance, and they will tell each other how much they are giving to us, so that none of them lose money, none of them makes money.
So it just cancels out pretty much like what Neil
said. Yeah, used to have an alliance. And then eventually everybody saw the point, or so there wasn't a point in giving out the money when everybody is giving each other the same amount. Mm-hmm. And then they decided, to totally give up on giving the little kids red envelopes.
Yeah, and according to the survey, for people born after 1985, 99% of these folks say that they are going to give children the red envelope packed with the gift money. So it still seems like this is, you know, you get the exceptions of some families that everybody sort of reaches an agreement that we're not going to give each other money, cash. Let's just do the family thing. But the vast majority, it seems, still follows this kind of tradition. And certainly when you're trying to hand out cash to X number of people, that's going to be financial burden. And what are some of the other popular Chinese New Year gifts, I suppose, that people are really spending on?
Red envelopes, cigarettes, alcohol, tea, fruits, and health supplements. I mean, when you when you're traveling home, most likely you are getting together with your family and you want your family to be healthy, and which is why I cannot understand why some of them are still giving cigarettes and alcohol as gifts. Because from the way I see it, cigarettes and alcohol, they are totally contradictory to health supplements.
You're not giving them to the same person, right? Or if you are, then you're very thoughtful.
Although there are members of my family who will like it very much if I give them, not cigarettes, but alcohol.
Well, a bottle of
wine. Nice wine, yeah.
Yeah, that never goes wrong.
Yeah, local Beijing brew. I think they'll love it very much.
Yeah, well, that sounds nice. What are some of the gift ideas that you have, Neela?
Okay, when it comes to gift giving, I'm just hopeless. I'm just like useless in that department.
Money.
I'm always the kind of person who's just gonna go like, okay, I will send you a Hongbao on WeChat, you know, and you go find something to buy, because I'm really, really horrible. I first of all, just thinking about what kind of gift to give somebody is just time consuming, and I never want to put myself in that position because I'm also a very indecisive person. It's never easy for me to make a decision like, I'll just get this. But even if I get that, I don't know which size, which color. So it just gets too complicated for me. No, I prefer to just, you know, give you maybe a card. If you're a woman, maybe I would consider maybe throwing in some flowers in there. Mm. But if it's a guy, for men, usually be like, okay, I'll treat you to a dinner, or or I'll buy you a beer if you're a drinker. But then at the end of the day, I think it's much simpler for me to just give somebody some money for them to do whatever they want with it.
Okay, well, there's also this emotional aspect to all of this, mm-hmm. that a lot of folks are saying, more like complaining, or, you know, sort of making a confession online saying that, yeah, I feel I am on this boat and I am compelled to spend to a certain standard. And that's taking away, I think, the fun, the joy when you feel you have to do something but it's not really coming from your heart, like, mm-hmm. you want to spend this much. So how do you read into that?
I don't know. I usually just get rid of the formalities. I only give gifts to people that I care about, and only give stuff that I think they genuinely need. So looking back, I don't think I really gave something that's memorable to me, at least. But here are some inspirations, though. A massage chair, or a foot spa massager, or a massage pillow, that kind of thing are considered welcome gifts to be given to elderly folks in the family. I mean, Neela, if you were looking for something for your family, then perhaps, yeah, massage chair. I mean, I'm not sure massage is a big thing in Kenya, but
I think my mom especially loves like the Chinese massage. So I think that would be something I would give her, but then she would go like, why didn't you just give me that money? I have other important things to buy.
Okay, well, it's good that you guys sort of have that agreement then.
Yeah, so unless you're giving her that massage chair and plus money on top of that, then that's absolutely agreeable. But then if you're just giving her, okay, here's a massage chair for you to be just sitting there and, you know, getting a massage while you watch TV, she'll just look at you like you're nuts, you're crazy.
You know, for China, in the last 40 years since the reform and opening up, so much of this economic achievement has been accomplished by millions of Chinese people traveling away from their hometowns, working and living in a different city, and making this economic tale that I think is unprecedented in history.
It is.
And when it comes to the Spring Festival or the Chinese New Year, it's about going home, mm-hmm. or at least being with your family. And I don't necessarily think this is just a Chinese thing to want to look good. It's like after a whole year of working hard, and if you get to see parents, if you get to see some friends from childhood, and you kind of want to return like a king. And that sentiment, it's not just Chinese, right? I think it's maybe that's behind why people feel I gotta spend as much as I can. Well, at least for some folks.
Yeah, I mean, I do know in my experience, like I see a lot of people, even like friends from other cultures, when they're going back home, they want to bring gifts, buy this, buy that. And in most cases, I don't think it's more about to show off, or okay, some people actually do this to show off. Okay, look, I just came from China, you know. But then for some people, it's more like you get into that spirit of generosity, like you want to give and you don't put a limit or a price tag on that, because the reason why a lot of people are doing this, for example, is you want, when the other person feels much happy and is in a good mood, it actually elevates your the way you feel as well. You feel just as good or even better. So and at this point, we're like, it's sort of like a reward we're giving ourselves, and because we've been working so hard for the last 12 months, and now you just feel like now it's time to treat myself and to treat others as well. And if everybody's happy, everybody's happy.
Well, there has been a little bit of tradition here in this country. I think back in the days at the founding of the Han Dynasty, I think the first emperor of Han Dynasty, Liu Bang, said something to the effect that it's like when you're rich and you don't go back to your hometown to show them, then it's as if you are wearing beautiful clothes in the dark. So, yeah. So
that's a good one.
I know. So, and he actually did something fantastic once he established the Han Dynasty and Han Empire. So anyway, never mind him. But yes, there is the tradition for some Chinese folks to want to show the fellow folks and village folks that they are doing well. And actually, in some places, not just the Spring Festival, so the regular stuff like a wedding and funerals, mm-hmm. sometimes people can overdo it in making sure that they don't lose face and in giving a lot of money in the form of gifts, to the point that many in the villages, they are having financial difficulties simply because the number of social occasions they have to go to. And as a result, in certain part of the country, the officials, local officials, take it upon themselves to try and convince the villagers not to overspend for those social occasions. I mean, we have certainly been trying very hard to advocate a reasonable and wealthy, reserved way of living, but yeah. And also, if you draw a comparison to Western civilization, we are not seeing rampant advertising on TV, whereas if you were living in the US and being before Christmas, I mean, there's all kinds of advertisements bombarding you and trying to get you to spend money.
So we are
sort of in a dilemma at this point, and people are getting used to new ideas. I hope they get used to them soon.
Yeah, and also budgeting. That's just, you know, coming up with a number that you're comfortable with and trying to spend within limits is always a good idea. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Roundtable,